same road leads me back to Jesus. No matter how far my feet have trod, every road still points me back to Calvary. It just seems long since I've been so far from God. That same road leads me back to Jesus. No matter how far my feet have trod, every points me back to Calvary. It just seems long since I've been so far from God. I've been standing looking down a narrow road, trying to find my way back home. I had wandered so far from God in sin, but that same road will lead me home again. That same road will lead me back to Jesus. No matter how far my feet have trod, oh, every road signs it points me back to Calvary. It just seems long since I've been so far from God. It lives beside the church where once I prayed, and the altar where I met with God each day. Why I strayed so far, I'll never understand. But that same road will lead me home again. That same road will lead me to Jesus. No matter how far my feet have trod, every road signs it points me back to God. It just seems long since I've been so far from God. I'm coming home, I'm coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming, Lord, coming.
Now I'm coming home.
seen not too long. I have trod, Lord, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming.
Let's rise up on our feet now. As we close our eyes, I raise up our two hands to the Lord and sing this song loud and clear.
Holy God, do it again, again, do it again in my life. Who is he that of all men? Holy Ghost, do it again. Holy Ghost. to join to see if you're my own book crowd. While all as thou art called, you not pass me. Savior, 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 Savior. Savior, Savior, my humble. Hallelujah, all as thou art holy, do the past me, Savior, 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 my own book cry. Hallelujah, all as thou art holy. Pass me by, our Lord is a great God. Hallelujah. Great He above all that, our Lord. Oh, yes. Great God, great King above all, our Lord. Yes, He's a great God. Hallelujah. Great King above all. Hallelujah.
Complete in him. I am complete in him. Complete in him. I am complete. Sing it loud and clear, beloved. Oh yes. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Learn. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. Oh, I'm complete. Oh, yes, complete. Hallelujah. Oh yes, oh yes, hallelujah. Yeah. Send that fire, the Holy Ghost fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire. Where's fire burning in my soul? Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire. Take us the fire. Fire burning in my soul. Fire burning in my soul. Fire burning in my soul. Holy Ghost and fire. Yes. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. Oh, I am complete. Oh, yes, complete. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let all the champions and winners that are here tonight pray these prayers like winners and champions. With the spirit of enough is enough. With the spirit that is not ready to let the enemy go away with their possessions. Shout this loud and clear with military authority. Wicked hands raised to strike me. There is a sister here who needs to pray this prayer with boiling anger. Can you shout this loud and clear? Wither! In the name of Jesus, command the wicked hands to wither. In the name of Jesus. Wither. In Jesus' name we pray. That's good. Well done, that sister. The hand has already withered. Every gathering waiting to laugh me to scorn. Can you say it loud and clear? Scatter in the name of Jesus. Scatter the gathering waiting to love you to scorn. In the name of Jesus, they must scatter by the power of the Holy Ghost. Aha, aha, aha.
Jesus' name we pray.
With a voice louder than that of anyone here, you will shout your name loud and clear. Daniel Olukoya. Hear the word of the Lord. Your life will not end in shame. Can you shout it loud and clear? In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare it loud and clear. This is why Jesus brought you here. This is not a day to negotiate.
Aha. Masekaya boshendera bokotandaka. Daribo soponde keya boshenteraba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for a time like this. And we thank you for the mightiness of your name and your power. We thank you because we can rely on you every day. Because you are reliable. You are strong. You are mighty. You are higher than the highest. Taller than the tallest. Stronger than the strongest. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Right now, Holy Father, we're gathered before you here tonight. Let there be no one who will come here tonight and go home the same. In the name of Jesus, open our understanding and lay your hands upon us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. This evening, we're looking at what I call the problem of mixed multitude. The problem of mixed multitude. And you will do well to listen very, very carefully so that you will locate yourself and know how to pray when the time comes. A lot of people come to the house of God, but they go home with nothing. A lot of people come with empty baskets and go with empty baskets. It is a tragedy to come to the place of fire and go home with no fire. It's a tragedy to come to a place of power and you leave the place powerless. The problem of mixed multitude. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. I pray that tonight, the fishing net of the Almighty will rescue those who have been stamped down by the enemy. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, the children of Israel are to leave the land of Egypt. They've been there for years and years and years. And now God has worked serious miracles to let them leave the place. It was a glorious time in the history of the Israelites when God began to hit the Egyptians so that the Israelites can get out of Egypt. Up to today, the Egyptians can never forget those 10 plagues. They had been set free from bondage. And they are on their way now to the promised land. Then a problem happened. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, it says this, "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks, and herds, and even much cattle." So a mixed multitude had mixed with them. It is easy to blame the Israelites for all the problems they encounter in the wilderness.
But one major reason why they did not get to the promised land was because a mixed multitude had joined to them. Several times in the New Testament, we read this one, or with very slight variations. I will not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. People must have been amused and they must have laughed at the oversized boat of Noah when he was building it. In fact, they ridiculed Noah. Where is it, that foolish old man who is building a giant boat? Imagine somebody building a boat 120 years. Yeah, that old man is just wasting the whole of his life building a boat. And people passing by, and then they hiss and say, oh, what a wasted life. What an ignorant old man. This old, and what he's spending the whole of his life to do is to build a boat, when the others are doing marriages for their children, they're building houses. He's building a boat. So they will look at him and shake their head. They will say, yeah, he's a madman. When it now came one day, and Noah began to run after chicken and lizard and goat and pigs, he will catch them, hold their leg to find out whether they are male or female. Oh, they shook their head and said, finally, the man has gone mad. Finally. Until he marched these animals into the ark. They saw him as an eccentric prophet. Eventually, listen very carefully. Eventually, Noah was right and his contemporaries were wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. The people in the days of Noah may be very intelligent. They may be very educated. They may be very progressive. But they were ignorant of God's programs. Using the Bible language, they knew not as it was in the days of Noah. So it is now. There's a lot of people in the church, they knew not. What I was saying tonight may offend some people who believe they are intelligent. But one outstanding characteristic of this, our generation, is ignorance. This generation has prided itself in very, very good things, cleverness, smartness, and all kinds of sophistication. But we have never had so much educated ignorance as we have now. We have never had so much stupidity and smartness mixed together as now. There has never been a time where you have so knowledge going about and lack of knowledge about the things of God all over the place too. Listen very well, beloved. No matter what a man knows, if he does not know God, he's an ignoramus. He doesn't know anything, as it was in those days. So it is now. Men are traveling faster and faster every day. But what is the use of your speed when you are going to the wrong direction? Give the modern man the latest attire. Give him university degrees. Give him Rolls Royce. Give him all the fancy cars. But he is as dumb as a sheep and will end up in hellfire if he still remains ignorant. I want you to understand this tonight very well, so that I can be clear to you what we're talking about. 50% of those who attend most churches, they are what you can call club members. It's like they have just come to join a club. They learn Christian languages. They learn praise God. They learn hallelujah. They learn how to say amen. Even these days now, wherever you play, unbelievers, Muslims, whatever, they will be saying amen. If you say, I cover you with the blood of Jesus, all of them will shout, blood of Jesus, although they are not born again. They come to church as if they are club members. 30% of those who come to church are in various cliques. I'm for this, I'm for this, I'm for that, I'm for that. Plenty of them are position seekers. Plenty of party spirit. It is a disgrace that there are still people who claim to be born again and they go to parties at night. Those are the mixed multitude in our midst. It's a disgrace. You see, find people in our midst who are religious politicians. They will push this person against this person, talk against this, talk against that one. 30% are in cliques. They are the mixed multitudes in our midst. In the house of God, we have those who have formed themselves into a gang. Inside that gang is where you find the rogues in the church. Some of them cover up their roguish attitude by saying, well, all I want is breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. And when you say, just say, you know, I say, this one is too hard. They should not be talking to us like this. This is a modern world. The truth of the fact is that there is no soft gospel. If you do find a soft gospel, throw it away. It's not the gospel. Something that tells you if your right eye will make you to sin, pluck it out and throw it out. Is that soft? Something that says if your right hand is going to make you sin, cut it off and throw it away. Is that a soft gospel? Something that made Jesus cry. Something that made Paul say, I put my body under. And I bring it to others' objection. Lest at any time after I've preached unto others, I myself will be a castaway. Paul was saying he doesn't want to be a castaway. This is a man who has seen heaven. God took him to heaven while he was still alive. God does not mind taking just one soul to heaven in a big church. 600,000 men left Egypt. Only two entered the promised land. Two out of 600,000. You calculate that percentage. It's not even up to 1% that entered the promised land. So is it the gospel some of us are just taking lightly? As if church is just coming there to play. Thousands and thousands, probably millions of people during the days of Noah, only 8 were saved. And by the time God rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, only a few people, 2 or 3 people, really came out alive from the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a serious matter, and I want you to understand it. It will be a tragedy if you get to the gate of heaven and say, I want to enter. They say, no, you are not a Christian. You are part of the mixed multitude, polluting the place. The mixed multitude are those who come to the house of God, but they never really get born again. Some come to sing. Some come to play instruments. Some come to control others. Some come to usher. Some come to do all kinds of things. But they are not really born again. They are the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude are those with the wrong priorities. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added to you. But these people, their priority is different. They're not seeking kingdom. Some they're seeking for wives, some seeking for husbands, some seeking for breakthroughs, some seeking for testimonies. But it's packed the things of the kingdom aside, and they are not interested. That's why you could find somebody coming to mountain of fire. He may still be smoking and drinking. You may even find him in a prostitute house. You may find him doing all kinds of terrible things. He may even still be going to the native doctors. Those are the people who are the mixed multitude polluting the power of God in the place. The mixed multitude, they hear what the words of God, but they don't do it. They will hear it, they will not do it. The mixed multitude, they are the drifters. They drift. There's a miracle here, they run there. There's another one there, they run there. One man of God is there, they run there. They're just drifting, running all over the place. Rolling stone that gathers nothing. The mixed multitude are those who just want motivation. They should tell us motivational message. They should motivate us. I want to be motivated. I want to be motivated. I want to be motivated. Instead of saying, I want to be inspired, is I want to be motivated. They could motivate you from 0 to 0. Members of the mixed multitude, they are the foolish builders in the house of God. They don't build for heaven, they build for themselves. It's like that rich man that died. He was a believer. He died. And they took him to heaven. When he got to heaven, he saw a beautiful building. Then he saw one building that is still at foundational level. It's so dilapidated. So he asked the angel, who is the owner of this dilapidated house that is at foundation level? The angel said, that's your house. He said, my house? Okay, who is the owner of that beautiful one over there? Then he said, it belongs to your houseboy. Your houseboy, Paul, is the owner. The man said, you must make it a mistake here. He's my houseboy, I pay him a salary. How can he have such a fantastic house and my own is like this? The angel too smiled and said to him, he said, we build our house with the material you send up here. So your houseboy is sending all his materials here, you send arms like a beggar. Yeah. Many people pray, Lord, I want breakthrough, I want breakthrough, I want breakthrough. When the breakthroughs now come, to take off an ordinary tithe becomes a big problem. Big problem. I know a woman in this church. She prayed. God gave her a fantastic breakthrough. And she wrote a check as a tithe to the church. The bank manager refused to pay Mountain of Fire the money. So we called the woman and said, you gave us a check, but it has bounced. So she took the check and went to the bank. I said, there is money in this account. Why haven't you remitted the money to Mountain of Fire? I said, madam, are you crazy? How can you send this kind of money to a church? It's too much. No. That's why I stopped the check. Give them this small bit, they will be rejoicing. And the woman said, look, sir, I will take my money out of this bank. You have no right to tell me what to do. Were you there when I was praying for the breakthrough? But if that woman was a mixed multitude, I said, ah, thank you, sir. Thank you for the advice. Thank you for the advice. The members of the mixed multitude are very forgetful. They forget the Bible. They forget how they got to a church and where God has taken them now. They forget those God has used to even raise them to where they are. They talk against their leaders now. They gossip about the pastors, gossip about their leaders. They are using their mouth to run down those who were fasting and praying for them when they came. The mixed multitude are the hardened ones in our midst. Those with very thick skin. They are not sensitive to the word of God anymore. Very thick skinned. They will know that the Bible says, thou shall not do this. And they do it. And then they come and say, well, sorry, I've asked the Lord to forgive me. The mixed multitude are those who are so over familiar with God. They just take God as if he's their colleague. No fear of God at all. Those are the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude come to the house of God, they begin things they never finish. They start foundational class, they don't finish foundational class. 70 days prayer and fasting is about to start now. Some are already calculating how they will miss the fasting. Those are the mixed multitude. No fear of God. They begin, they don't continue. When we say, come and seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they stop halfway. They live a life of Christian, but they bear no fruit. They travel the broad way, they don't carry any cross of Christ. They are very independently minded. Whatever you say, they say, well, that is their own. This is my own. They are very, very interested in what to make them have fun. They live by modernity and civilization. And that has made them spoilers in the house of God. They live their life like bullets. Once a bullet is fired, you have no control over that bullet anymore. But the trouble with the bullet is that the bullet expires with the victim. The mixed multitude is misfired arrows. They're not concerned with the purity of their lives. They are concerned with popularity. I want to be popular. I want to be known as this. I want to be known as that. I want to be known as that. And that is causing great trouble in the house of God. The mixed multitude are the touts in the house of God. They are going nowhere and they are not leading anybody anywhere. They are just accredited messengers shouting, oh, you go, but they themselves are not in the bus. The mixed multitude are those who come to the house of God, and when they say, this is the right way, this is the wrong way, they say, I'm neutral. When it's time to take risk for God, they don't go to the side of God, they say, well, I'm neutral. The trouble with neutral gear in your car is that the neutral guy will take you nowhere. The mixed multitude are the criminals in our midst. Criminal men who go about with strange women. Criminal women who go about with strange men. Criminal youths who go about with boyfriends and girlfriends. Criminal teenagers who are silent thieves. These are the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude are the bold-faced ones. They will still buy their cigarettes and be licking chewing gum and sweet to clear the odor. They will be stealing and doing all kinds of things in their offices. If you are in this service today and you have no testimony in your place of work that you are a Christian, you are a mixed multitude. If you are in this service today and somebody comes to your house of, to your office as a man and say, I'm asking for sister so and so. Oh, I say, that's the girlfriend of the MD. You are a mixed multitude. You are a polluter here. And you are one of those reducing the testimonies that would have been happening here. The mixed multitude are the people who come with, they have destiny in their heart, but they have no destination. Plenty of them call themselves ministers, but they are basically ministers of confusion. And they are commissioners of abomination. And they call themselves pastors. These have so much infiltrated the house of God these days that you have a lot of undone Christians. Undone Christians. Unfortunately, in most of our churches now, what I see most times, dead men on the pulpit preaching dead messages to dead members so they can die twice. Men on the pulpit, and all they do is to warm milk every day and give it to people to drink. If you're already an adult of 20 years old and somebody, all they give to you is milk, one day you will die. I want you to understand this very well. There is only one destination to mix multitude. The destiny of mixed multitude is hellfire. There is only one road to paradise, but there are many roads to hellfire. And I tell you, it's better to go to heaven in rags than to go to hell in expensive clothes. It's better for a lady to die as a pauper on the streets than for her to sell her body for money. It's better to marry with whatever money is in your hand than not to, you still marry, but you are living in sin. And stop telling us, I don't have money. I don't have money. That's why I don't have money. But you don't have money. You are living in sin. You're about to go to hellfire in your poverty. Many have never gotten to any position in this country that we can say they got money in their hands. Then how can it be said that in the kingdom of the just, again, where all children of God shall be celebrated? You miss that one. So you are poor here. You want to continue the poverty when you die. So it's better to go to heaven in rags than to hellfire in expensive clothes. I want you to understand this very, very, very well. Hell is when you see truth too late. Hell is the wrath of God prepared against man. Hell is showing God's hatred for sin. Jesus spoke about hell and hell and hell many, many times in the Bible, but he talked about heaven only once in John 14. I want you to understand this very well. Are you a disgrace to the household of faith? Is heaven looking at you and say, what a shame? And this is what we should understand. You know, some people, it is when they die that you know who they like, because they have favorites. Even amongst children, parents do have favorites. God has favorites. God will like you when you start doing what he wants you to do. You become his favorite. It's when some people die, you now know who they like. They will be treated as if they like them equally. But when they die, when they write the will, then they give all their things to the person they like. If somebody likes you, he really likes you. Because he likes you, sometimes overlooks even some things you've done. God will like you when you begin to do what he wants. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You should not perish. God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want you to be amongst the mixed multitude. You should not go to hellfire. You will be a trespasser if you went there, because that hell is a place of sorrow. Hell is a place where somebody suffers and will never die there. Hell is a place where the fire is not quenched. Every fire is quenched apart from this one. That's why the Anglicans and sometimes the Catholics, they pray, deliver us from the fires of hell. If I stand there now and I said, now, is there anybody in this service this evening? And you have applied to go to the UK, you have applied to go to the US, you have applied to go to Canada. They didn't give you a visa. Is there anybody here this evening? And some people say, yes, I'm sure we'll find. I said, come to the front. I promise you, if you can do what I want you to do now, I will get you that visa within 24 hours, and you can go. And they come out. And I said, okay, you will go, but I'm going to remove your right eye. Or let me cut off your right hand or your right leg. Then I get you the visa. You will discover that if I said, you still want the visa? I will say, no. No. For me to go there with one leg? No. But hell is a place. What? Cutting your hand and your leg and your eye because you don't want to go there. Cut it off. Hell is a place that is constantly expanded to take more people, according to Isaiah 5:14. Wow. They are enlarging it to take more people. One man that God took to hellfire said, the way people were pouring into hellfire is as if they are pouring sand, that a tipper of lorry was pouring sand down into a hole. There are plenty of students, plenty of pastors, plenty of young men, we're just pouring them down there. The man came back to the world crying. Why? Because he's a minister of the gospel. But he saw his own father in hellfire. He started crying. His father was in hellfire. That hellfire is a place where you will have the people you will see are just demons and dead people. It's a place where people beg for water just for one drop. One drop. Many drink two bottles of water, they are not satisfied. Even when there is no eat, this one gives. Just I beg him for one drop. At the gates of death, there is no big man. Everybody is small. I was an old man who got born again. Got born again at the age of 75. This thing I'm telling you happened when he was 78 years old. He used to disturb the neighbors from sleeping. Because there is one song he kept singing. And that song, he sang it. And everybody in the neighborhood, they know the song. It will be in tears. It will be 12 midnight when people are praying, binding this power, binding that power. No. His song is, must I go an empty-handed? How's the song? Am I going to go to the Savior empty-handed with nothing to show? So somebody said, Baba, why do you keep singing this song? So you are lucky, you got born again when you were young. So you just got born again at 75. He just spent 3 years and that. He knew he was soon going to die. He has nothing to put together to show God. This is what I did here. That's why the man sings that sorrowful song. What have you done for the Savior now? Do you know that the greatest problem we're having at the youth church now, our youth church, is due to rebellious parents? So while we go, we're busy preaching to the youth, don't dress like this, don't dress like this, don't wear that. Parents who come here buy the same terrible clothes for their children. Some will bring their daughters to Gio for prayers. These small daughters, girls of 3, 4, they put tight trousers on them already. So they're already teaching the little girl what to do. Mothers who come here, they don't wear earrings, they don't wear makeups, but they are buying earrings, makeups for their children. And if the children say, they say this thing is not going to say, don't be that serious, So they're making the work difficult. Those are the mixed multitude parents in our midst. They don't really know what they believe. They don't know what they want. Hell is a place where people are so tormented, they curse God. Plenty of pastors are already there roasting in that hellfire. Many are already on their way there without express. And it's a place where there is no rest. A place of blackness forever. A place where the Bible said there will be gnashing of teeth. A lake of fire where their smoke of torments ascends forever, according to the Bible. There they will be drinking wine, but the wine will be the wrath of the Almighty. A place where people will not be able to see their loved ones again. A place where preachers will see and wonder, how is it that those I preach to, how did they get themselves into this place? 162 passages in New Testament alone spoke about the doom of hellfire. While 70 of them were spoken by Jesus himself. This is not a place to go, beloved. Because it's a place of eternal separation from your loved ones. It's a place of no return. It's like that accident that happened at Abeokuta Expressway. The man was carrying chicken in his poultry to go and sell in the market. Unfortunately, that vehicle collided with a tanker, petrol tanker, and the vehicle carrying the chicken caught fire. The driver driving the chicken there had already caught fire. He was dead. Unfortunately, these poor chicken were kept in a cage. If the cage was open, they would have jumped out, and maybe they would not have died. They were inside that cage. And it was painful, tormenting, watching these poor birds roast to death. They flew terribly, hit themselves against the cage, but they could not come out. It was a place of no return. Hellfire is exactly like that. You may laugh going inside. You may even join your boyfriend going inside it. But when you land inside, there will be no laughter. No laughter at all. Hell is a place that will torment your memory. Regret will be tormenting the brain. Had I known, I would not have done this. Had I known, I would have been serious. I remember, they used to tell us this thing. But I didn't know. Had I known. And it's a terrible thing. It's a place of unsatisfied desire. I'm telling you why you should not go there. It is a place of frustration and anger. A place originally prepared for Satan and his angels and not men. You must not plan to go there. You must not allow your immortal soul to be lost. You must not allow the vehicle of the flesh to drive you there. You must not go to the judgment seat and they accuse you and you don't have any answer. Hellfire is a place where nobody will have excuses. No one will claim that God has been unfair to them. No one will claim that God has given them a rodding. If a person dies as a sinner, then it's your own fault. These are serious things. Look at the faces of people who go for funerals. You can almost read the confusion in their eyes. The confusion is, this person, where has he gone now? What are they doing right now? Highly intelligent people who are not born again, when they get to funerals, they become very uncomfortable because they know that there is something here that needs explanation. Hell is divine dustbin, junkyard. It is divine psychiatric hospital, a madhouse, where God keeps all those people who lived mad lives, a divine asylum. You should not plan to go. And you should not even try to transfer yourself from the house of God to hellfire. It's a place where you will be remembering all the messages that you have had. And you will know that you have messed up everything. There are many gates into hellfire, but there is no gate that will bring you out once you get in. This is a serious matter. And once the spirit of hell and death has entered into you, you are always afraid when they say Jesus is coming again. When they talk about holiness, you are scared. Because the spirit of death and hell has already entered. Is that university boy who went to commit fornication? He was committing fornication, was on top of a woman committing fornication. But the woman he was sleeping with was busy talking to somebody he cannot see. He was on top of the woman was talking to somebody else. And she was saying, as you add his name to the list, as you add his name, by the time, and the boy had all this, but he said he had gone too far, he could not stop. And that was how the enemy was able to manipulate his life. Looking unto Jesus. He didn't say looking at unto a pastor. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When you come to the house of God, the mixed multitude, they will be looking at human beings. But those who are going to heaven, they look at Jesus. Oh, there are plenty of people on the street. You find stickers of MFM in them, on their cars, but the MFM is not inside their soul. And some of them give this ministry terrible names outside. The way some talk, you know they are not even born again. The places you find some people, it's clear that they are not born again. The kind of dresses some people dress outside there, you know that they are not really born again. When you are a mixed multitude, you are stubborn and unteachable. You are close-minded. You don't want to listen. When somebody is a mixed multitude, you will do bad things. It will not prick your conscience. When you sin against God, you no longer cry before God. Your eyes are dry. You will tell lies and something does not strike you. So this is a lie. And you are already becoming a senior graduate of your father, the devil, who is a father of lies. When somebody is coming to the house of God and there is no godly sorrow for sin, then you are a mixed multitude. You are spiritually weak, but you don't want to do anything to address it. It's a sign of the mixed multitude. You are so hypocritical. If people follow you home now and monitor how you live your life, they will know that, no, this one is a double-time child of hellfire. You come to the house of God, your prayer and singing, they are basically superficial. They are not really deep in your soul. You are coming to the house of God. You refuse to depart from your witchcraft. You refuse to depart from your familiar suite. You are still there and you claim that you are a child of God. You are exhibiting all kinds of unloving characteristics. You see people, could you come to MFM? I was amazed the other time. People were fighting themselves in the church because of seat. Somebody would go and use pieces of paper and turn Bible, turn exercise book, to reserve space for somebody who is not even waking up at home yet. And when somebody wants to sit and say, no, you can't sit there. Those are the mixed multitudes in our midst. We need to know this very well. Some people come and they get confused and say, why is this place like this? That is because there are some mixed multitudes in our midst. A lady came to a program at Prayer City. Her mother was sitting by her side. She was sitting too. A man was sitting by her side. This lady comes to Mountain of Fire. Mother comes to Mountain of Fire. The man just came to Mountain of Fire program. Very soon as the program went on, the man began to make faces at her. Very soon. Began to say, I love you. right there at the presidency. Began to say, you are the apple of my hair, you are the golden sugar in my tea. Right there at the presidency. And the mother was saying, hey, this one cannot be a child of God. Because he's not praying, now it's you he's talking to. Before we say Jesus is Lord. This sister ran off with that man. Ran off with that man. Now nobody can rescue her again. She's lost there. She's pregnant and lost in the place. After she was pregnant, she discovered that the man is not even a Christian at all. Because one morning she said he woke up and found the man speaking to something under his bed. Olugongo bila. Under the bed. I said, what is? What's Olugongo bila? I said, shut up. And she's stuck. Plenty of mixed multitude. Mixed multitudes, they have strange friends. The way they spend their life, their time, you know, they are not really true children of God. They are proud people. They have unrestrained anger, covetous and carnally minded. They are disorganized and undisciplined. The origin of such people is from the devil, and their destination is hellfire. I want you to examine yourself tonight. That's why we have said all this. Are you really a member? Or you are just a mixed multitude? If everybody in this mountain of fire is praying your level of prayer, would there be fire here? If everybody in mountain of fire was reading their Bible the way you are reading your own, would there be fire here? If everybody in mountain of fire was living their lives the way you are living your life, would the power of God come down here? Close your eyes now. Don't deceive yourself. If you know you have things to sort out with the Savior, you better get on your knees. Get on your knees and tell the Lord, say, Father, you cannot leave me like this. How can it be said that I come to this place? And hellfire is the result. Time to talk to the Lord. Many here, they have lost their original fire. Many here that God wants to use mightily. The Almighty has closed their chapter and ran away from them. Many here, already the cry from heaven is crying on them. Change them! Replace them! Do you want this to happen to you? I leave you to cry to the Lord and say, Father, help me. Help me. I refuse to be a candidate of hellfire. I refuse to join the mixed multitude. I give you time to talk to the Lord now. It will be a tragedy if you come here tonight and you go on with a plastic experience. It will be a tragedy if this is the hour you want to sleep. It will be a tragedy if you leave this place and you are still on your way to hellfire.
Katanda kaya boshon torabokopo. Bede ketende ye beshen terabo. Amen. If you are that lady here and you have recently carried out an abortion, I have a very, very difficult information for you. The baby you killed is a prophet. But God is ready to forgive you tonight and give you a new beginning. For that lady, find a way to this altar and be on your face before the Lord. I didn't say you should kneel down. I said be
flat on your face before the Lord so that the Lord can deliver you and not count this charge against your destiny. We're not here for joke. We're here for serious assignment. I didn't say kneel down. I said lie down flat on your face. Flat on your face before the Lord. Everybody would pray. Why are you still on your knees? There is a particular spirit you need to bind. You bind it. This is not the time to play or to joke. That spirit is what the Bible called the spirit of error. Something is bad. You know you shouldn't do it. But one way or another, you went and did it. It's the spirit of error. Can you, on your, while you get on your knees, say this loud and clear? I bind and cast out every spirit of error. Cry now to the Lord like that in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to bind it and cast it out. Something positive must happen in your life here tonight. Makapota setendaka. Ribosapondeke yebo shenteraba. Bind and cast it out. In the name that is above all names. In Jesus' name we pray. Spirit of death and hell, I bind you and cast you out of my life. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare it now. Jesus' name we pray. Father, I pray for these your children at the front of the altar. I pray, O Lord, that you forgive all their iniquities and wash away their sins. Let your hand be upon them for good. Let the blood of Jesus wipe away every iniquity. In the name of Jesus, every virtue that you have lost as a result of this activity, the power of God and the mercy of God will make you to repossess them in the name of Jesus. Everybody, we pray this again loud and clear. While you are still on your knees, every agenda of hellfire for my life, in the name of Jesus. Bosata nikatandaka. Baria loko sente yebo shente rabo kolaba. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Sisters, you may go to your seat now. Go and sin no more. And don't forget your appointment. Everybody, rise up on your feet now. Rise up on your feet now. And all eyes closed. If you are in this meeting tonight, and you are not born again, you have not just surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. Whatever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand and say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that short prayer with me, immediately we close. Just find a way to the altar here.
so that we can pray more with you. All eyes closed. I want you to pray this one again before we sit down. And as we're praying this prayer, I want you to be sincere before the Lord. Don't play games before the Almighty. Don't play games before the Almighty. If you are in this meeting tonight and you have a drinking problem, you want to keep away, you can't keep away. It is an instrument of hellfire. Find a way to the altar and be on your knees. You have a drinking problem. You try to break free, you find yourself going back to it. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. Destructive habits. Can you shout it loud and clear? Release me by fire! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. Basenda kaya bo shente rabo kopola baraba. Dana kanda rabo sopola kaya bo shente raba. Besepia likatenda kaba. Makaya bo shende rabo kosopo. In Jesus' name we pray. Lay your hand on your chest now. Arrows of darkness fired into my soul. Backfire. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Those of you at the altar here, begin to breathe in the fire of God through your mouth and through your nose, and breathe out every spirit of addiction. Do it very aggressively, because we must be released tonight from the grip of this evil power. Breathe in the fire. Breathe in the spirit of addiction. Breathe in the fire. Breathe out the spirit of affliction. Breathe in the fire. Breathe out the spirit of addiction. Out. 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 In the name of Jesus. It's coming out. Coming out. Lord is laying his hands from person to person. Just be released. 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 Be released in the name of Jesus. Be released in the name of Jesus. Aha. Father, I decree that is the spirit of liberty from the bondage of alcohol will fall upon these your children here. In the name of Jesus, receive your deliverance now. Receive your healing now. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Now you go and sin no more. And make a vow before the Lord that your mouth will no longer touch that substance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say this now loud and clear. My Father, have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and ask for his mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us share the grace in fellowship.